Hi, I'm Neil Patel, editor of The Verge and host of the Decoder podcast. The Verge is turning 10 this year. That's incredible. It's impossible to believe. But to celebrate, we're throwing a huge two-day event in New York City on October 22nd and 23rd. And you're invited. It's The Verge like you've never seen it before, with a huge lineup of special guests, interactive experiences, and a major opening night party. So go to voxmediaevents.com/OTV tickets to learn more and grab your tickets. We'll see you on The Verge.
Hello and welcome to Around the Corner. I'm Matt Schlichting, joined as always by Brian Hemminger. Brian, we've got some exciting prospect news, don't we?
We have a ton of exciting prospect news. There's been a lot of shifts in Cleveland's minor league system. We've had an update to MLB Pipeline's top 30 for Cleveland since post trade deadline and post MLB draft. So they've inserted some new players to the system. They've updated rankings based on performance, both good and bad. So we have a very different top 10 than what we have been doing throughout the rest of the year. So
you recommended we go ahead and read through the new list before we do a rundown of the stats. So go ahead and take it away.
All right. So our new number one prospect in Cleveland system, Tyler Freeman, has hit everywhere he's played. He's been in a revelation. Unfortunately, he is not going to play the rest of the year. They shut him down. And I think he actually did end up having shoulder surgery. Like they were hoping to avoid it. But they were just like, you know what, if he's going to have it, let's have it right now so that he'll be able to play beginning next year. So that's a bit scary that your top overall player is undergoing shoulder surgery. And I think he's had a shoulder injury before, too. So that's something to at least keep an eye on moving forward. It could hurt him a little bit or make him lose a little bit of luster when he's been so consistently good at every level.
Hopefully the deciding to go ahead and do the surgery now, it was sort of a preventative measure for the rest of his development moving forward.
Yeah, hopefully. And perhaps many people's eyes, the new number one prospect, but currently number two now, George Valera, outfielder. He was number four previously, and Freeman had been number two. So Valera jumps up two spots. Very, very exciting. And he was recently promoted to Double-A, but we'll talk about that later. Then Nolan Jones, our former number one, still trying to get a little bit more consistent with his first experience of Triple-A this whole season, has dropped to number three. Gabriel Arias, on the other hand, also in his first taste of Triple-A at 21 years old, mind you, has now jumped up to number four from number six. Daniel Espino, who has been absolutely sensational this whole season and is putting up ridiculous numbers with strikeouts, remains number five, and he was five before.
He'll get nothing in like it.
Yeah. Bo Naylor drops three spots. He was number three. He is now number six. He has spent the entire season at Double-A, and now he is kind of splitting time at catcher with Brian Lavastida. Lavastida just missed the top 10, by the way. I think he's up to 12 or 13. So he has really been soaring up the prospect rankings. Brian Rocchio, again, he will get nothing and like it. he was seven. He is still seven. Now, the final three spots in the top 10 are all newcomers.
It makes it a little more interesting here.
Yes. So, sorry, Aaron Bracco, Ethan Hankins, and Josh Wolf. Ethan drops after not being able to play this whole year, undergoing Tommy John surgery. Understandable. Bracco has not quite been as good as his compatriots that he began the year with in Lake County, Valera and Rocchio, who both have been since promoted to Double-A. Bracco is still at Single-A, putting up, I would say, average, league average numbers, not elite prospect numbers that you were kind of hoping for. And Josh Wolf has been very inconsistent, sometimes great, sometimes really, really bad, and just hasn't been able to nail it down. So Wolf also drops quite a bit out of the top 10. But new to the top 10 are number eight, prospect is Angel Martinez, who was one of the youngest players in the system to start the year at full season ball, has been great. A lot of people think that he could be one of the future top prospects in the system if he keeps this up. Gavin Williams, our number one draft pick in this past 2021 MLB draft, who throws 100 miles an hour, is debuting at number nine. And Logan T. Allen, who the one true Logan Allen.
Indeed.
I believe our second round pick in the 2020 draft out of college, who has since been promoted to AA, is number 10 now. So really, really interesting top 10 movement. I think the craziest thing out of all the things I just said, Josh Wolf was top 10. Where do you think he is now?
27th.
He's not even in the top 30.
Oh.
They dropped him all the way out. No love for Josh Wolf.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. Hankins drops all the way to 21. And Bracco drops to 15. So huge drops on their end.
We had some climbers. So
yes, we had several climbers. Tanner Burns is just outside the top 10 at number 11. He was a first-round pick last year. Richard Palacios is all the way up to number 14. Peyton Battenfield, who we just received in a trade and doesn't need to be added to the 40-man until next November, not this November, is all the way up to 17 now. He has been tremendous. And then if you're curious about any of the other draft picks this year, only one other draft pick is actually listed at the moment, and it is Tommy Mace, and he comes in at number 20 overall. I believe he was our second round pick. He was actually our competitive balance pick in between the second and third rounds. So I think so I'll be doing a much more labor intensive study of the changes to the top 30 that should be coming out in a little bit. This takes a long time to write because I literally go through every player in the top 30, how they've performed this year, who dropped off, who graduated, who's just outside the top 30 that might deserve to be ranked, in my opinion. So it's a lot of work. So just be patient with me. It will be coming.
It's always a great post that gives an awesome recap of where the system was, what has changed, and a sense of where it's going, too.
Okay, well, with that all out of the way, let's recap how our new top 10 players have performed in the past. I went back 2 weeks. So, Tyler Freeman, obvious, didn't play. So, that's an easy one. Just keep healing, Tyler. Now, the next one, George Valera, this one is exciting.
He's definitely putting up numbers that show why. He is now considered the number two prospect in the system. He slashed over the last 2 weeks. So this is 13 games worth of appearances. 325, 518, 650. Good for a WRC plus of 211. Just destroying the baseball. Four home runs mixed in there. 15 walks, maybe the most impressive thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
People are pitching around him now, and he's selective. And so that's what happens.
And he threw in a promotion to AA during that time period where he has already collected 3 hits in his first 2 games. And guess who he got his first hit in his first AA game against?
It was Corey Kluber.
Yes. 2-time Cy Young Award winner Corey Kluber pitching a rehab outing, and Valera gets an RBI single against him and also walks that game. I don't know if Kluber walked him. He might have after that RBI single. He'd been like, oh, I don't want to get bat flipped.
It's a pretty cool introduction to AA either way.
Yeah, and then he goes and gets 2 more hits the next night. So beast mode, George Valera. He had one of the most fun games I have ever seen a player have. So get this, okay? August 21st, George Valera comes up to bat 6 times, okay? 6 times. Goes 2 for 2 with a home run, 3 walks and a hit by pitch, and steals 2 bases.
He's just getting it done however it needs to get done.
Got on base all 6 times. Oh, that is beautiful. After that game, he only lasted 1 more game at high A, and they're just like, we can't do this anymore to these poor high A pitchers.
Not fair anymore. A guy who hasn't been running amok, so to speak, is now number three in the top 10. Mr. Nolan Jones. What has he been up to for the last fortnight?
Not so hot in terms of batting average, only hitting 182. But what I will say is the BABIP isn't great at 259. He did steal three bases. He did hit a home run, did hit a couple doubles, and he did walk 10 times in 2 weeks. So that's great. And even though there's 17 strikeouts, again, that's not the greatest in terms of strikeout rate, 30%. If he can keep that at 30 or lower as he moves on to the major leagues, I think I can live with that. I don't want it higher than that, though. That's about the max that I think you can get away with at the major league level, as long as you are also walking a ton and hitting home runs.
Yeah, if you're going to be, I guess if you're going to try to be the sort of prototypical 300, 400, 500 slugger, you can't strike out any more than that. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting line to look at for that reason.
And then moving on to our new number four player, Gabriel Arias, he had a very unique slash line. The walks that he was really starting to pour on early in the season vaporized the past 2 weeks. In his 11 games, he went 12 for 46 to hit 261, which isn't bad. But I think the most interesting thing was 13 strikeouts compared to one walk. He put up, even though he hit 60 points higher than Jones, he only had a WRC plus of 74. So it was only 3 points higher than Jones' 71, because Jones was also getting on base with all those walks.
Just an interesting week or 2 weeks for him. Hopefully it's just he was fishing a little bit and he'll get back to what he was doing before, but he earns the promotion nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. So moving on, we've got Daniel Espino, and Daniel had a very nice 2 weeks, didn't he?
He definitely did. So in two starts, Espino pitched 10 total innings. I think it was five in each. Only allowed two hits and one run, walked four, but struck out 21.
Yeah, struck out 21.
Good for a 0.9 ERA.
I checked, batting average against 0.65.
That's off the scale. Whatever the scale is for that, it's just nobody came up with terms for that range.
Okay, well, I've got a train here that is really old.
I think it's a good omen this time.
Yeah, the train is a good omen because it's the hype train for Daniel Espino.
Boom! And there it is again. See? this locomotive has
toot,
wonderful...
Toot, Daniel Espino, hype train.
Wonderful comedic timing.
no. So... I think the most exciting thing about Daniel Espino is you look at his last four starts, all at high A now. He has been at high A for six starts. In his last four starts, double-digit strikeouts every stinking game.
It's just silly.
Yeah. He is, like, at one point, I think Logan, the one true Logan Allen and Xavion Curry were leading the organization in strikeouts. Now, Espino is just destroying everyone in strikeouts. And what's crazy is he has not yet pitched over five innings in a game all season, but he has five double-digit strikeout games.
That's a little nuts.
And 2-9 strikeout games. So, like, he had one start where every out was a strikeout. Four innings, 12 strikeouts. You literally, the infielders didn't need to exist.
Have we ever had a starter with stuff like this before, do you think?
Not since, like, Sabathia, I think. You know, I remember, I mean, he wasn't quite throwing 100, but he was throwing upper 90s, and he was blowing through the system, if you remember. He was very young. I think he was 20 when he made his major league debut.
That's right. So, I forgot he was so young when he first came up.
But Espino's 20, and he's at high A, and in his six high A starts, he has 10 strikeouts, 11 strikeouts, 10 strikeouts, 12 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts, 4 strikeouts.
I'm not sure he's being challenged.
Well, that last start was 5 innings, 1 hit, 10 strikeouts. There were 3 walks. I don't know if you heard about this. Those 3 walks were the first 3 batters he faced in the game. He walks the bases loaded and then is untouchable for five straight innings with 10 strikeouts.
The man needed to give himself a challenge.
Yeah, he was just like, you know what? I'm going to start this game by walking the bases loaded. Maybe he just intentionally walked him. He's like, put him on. I want to see what I can do against the cleanup hitter with the bases loaded, nobody out.
Well, we will remain excited about Mr. Espino. No,
I am through the roof excited. He is also in the MLB Pipeline top 100 overall now, too. So Cleveland does have five players in that top 100. But what's interesting is they don't have anybody in the top 50. They're all like 50 to 100 right now. Those numbers will go up because I think everybody in that list other than Nolan Jones is like 21 or younger. So those numbers are going to go up.
And someone who may be among those at some point is number six on the list, Mr. Bo Naylor. He had, this is an interesting couple of weeks, especially considering he's a catcher. I'm not quite sure what to make of it yet.
Well, honestly, he did have some bad BABIP luck. Only hit 186, but look at that on-base percentage, 352, 10 walks in 2 weeks. So ended up, despite the low hitting rate, WRC plus almost league average, 96. So I'm not going to complain too much about that. He also stole a couple bases, hit two home runs, had a double. So you know what? I'm not going to complain about that. I think that that's perfectly acceptable. I would like, you know, him to hit a little bit better over a 2 week stretch as a young player at Double A. I can live with that.
Yeah. And his job in that lineup isn't necessarily to drive runs in. So he's getting on base.
And that's one of the most successful teams out of all of Cleveland's. That is the most successful team other than maybe the ACL team in Cleveland's minor league system right now. So then we have Brian Rocchio, who is now a firm Double A player. And he has been terrific in 2 weeks, which includes about a week now plus of being in Double A. He went 18 for 56 with five home runs, 15 runs batted in. He had more runs batted in than games played. And then two more stolen bases. He had a WRC plus of 164, slashed 325, 356, 643. And that includes playing almost all of his games at Double A for the first time in his life as a 20-year-old.
The flash of power is really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen some of the power. I mean, it makes no sense because he's like rail thin, but he has a great swing. And when he gets a hold of one, I mean, he can drive it. Kind of like what we're seeing out of Zimmer lately, like just all skin and bones and then crushes it, you know, 480 feet. Next up, we've got Angel Martinez. How did Mr. Martinez do?
He, in his introduction to this wonderful list, hit 222, 308, 244. Not the greatest showing in the history of the world. Good for a 62 WRC+. Wasn't striking out a ton. Struck out 23% of the time. Just a little bit of a struggle with the plate. Not a great week. No BABIP to blame either. It was right around league average.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was extremely hot earlier in the year. He's cooled off a little bit this past month. Now, he hasn't been terrible, but he's been about league average, if not a little bit below that. So that's one of the reasons that he has not been promoted to high A yet, although he is still getting consistent at-bats as an everyday player as a 19-year-old. So still plenty to be excited about with Angel Martinez, but I think it's expected that there's going to be a few growing pains along the way, especially the first time he's ever played a full season. You know, he's kind of getting into that, you know, I'm sure that at this point right now, this is the most games he's ever played in a single season. So it could be starting to drag on him a little bit.
True.
So got to think about a lot of the factors that go into player performance at this, especially at this time of the year.
We're probably even looking at that with Tristan McKenzie right now, to be perfectly honest. Coming off of the pandemic year, this is the most stress accumulated on his arm. Similar kind of thing. Tired shoulder going to the disabled list. So possibly. It's interesting to think about for Martinez. Number nine on our list is Gavin Williams. He is not a man who has yet played baseball as a professional for the Cleveland Indians, though he is in our organized system. Thank you very much. That brings us then to number 10, Logan T. Allen.
18 innings pitched. six runs allowed, 12 hits, 25 strikeouts against four walks. I mean, what more can you ask for? And he is now firmly at double A after being promoted from single A, high A. So this is a guy that is stepping up after getting challenged again. I mean, look at those strikeouts. Five innings, eight strikeouts, six and a third innings, eight strikeouts, six and two thirds, nine strikeouts.
So that's what I love about these starts is he's
so consistent.
Going six innings deep.
Yep. That's what you want. I mean, if you want to have somebody that is a regular in your rotation, you want them to go out there like an Aaron Civale and just consistently get you deep into a game and keep your team in it. And, you know, Civale is almost guaranteed like six innings, three or fewer runs almost every time. He is a quality start machine. And it looks like Logan T. Allen is going right down that same track. Like he's going to go out there, give you six innings, give up two or fewer runs, one walk, eight plus strikeouts. I mean, this guy, there's a reason he's in the top 10 right now. And I'm surprised he's not a little bit higher based on how great he's been this year.
If he keeps pitching like this, he'll creep up by the time they roll the list over for the beginning of the year. Maybe their ranking will catch up to the hype that we're slowly building. Speaking of hype, we are now into our top five performers for the week, and the aforementioned hype train for Daniel Espino just keeps going as he has made the list once more. We know what he did.
Yeah, we talked about it already, but just humiliating batters. I mean, 10 innings, 21 strikeouts, four walks, one run, two hits. Just incredible. Yeah. I mean, if he keeps this up, I could see him being one of the top pitchers on all of MLB pipeline. Like, because, I mean, he is still so young. And, I mean, he's getting close. I mean, high A, that's not that far away. So at 20 years old, I mean, seriously, the hype train is real on this kid. Like, I knew that we were going to be excited about him, that I was excited about him coming into this year because I kept seeing all this stuff about how hard of a worker he is, how much muscle he put on. Like, this kid just is a gym rat. He is just constantly working to get better, and it's paying off. I think the thing that excited me the most recently was I saw a highlight of all of his strikeouts in a start, and in the one of his last pitches in the fifth inning was 99 miles an hour. Yeah, so all those people saying that this kid is only going to be a late inning reliever. If you're maintaining velocity 99 miles an hour deep into a game, you're going to be a starter.
If you offered me a streaming channel with more of that content, I would pay $4.99 a month, I believe. Number two in our top five performers, which keep in mind, there is no order to the top five performers. This is a communist list. Xavier Curry.
Yeah. Curry, he's kind of been a little up and down since he got promoted to high A from Lynchburg, where he started the year and was the best pitcher in the system as a starter to begin the year. But that last start, woo! Five innings, one hit, no runs, no walks, 10 strikeouts. Almost perfect.
Can we call that an Espino?
No, because Espino usually does walk a guy or two. That's the one thing Espino needs to work on is the walks.
Maybe, but I don't know if Curry does this often, but the 10, five innings, 10 strikeouts thing is just,
yeah,
it's a certain level of dominance that just jumps out.
Mm-hmm. I can double check to see how many other 10 plus strikeouts games he's had this year. Because I know this is like one of the first times he's really been stretched. I mean, this is the first time he's ever pitched. So, only one other time this year did Curry get 10 strikeouts. And he had a game back in May 18th where he went 6 1/3, one hit, no walks, 11 strikeouts. So almost the exact same thing, but an inning and a third longer with another strikeout. So
we'll keep our eye on it. It could be a fun stat.
He has been really, really good. So very excited about Xavion Curry. What was funny was when MLB Pipeline redid their top 30 and added like a couple Indians draft picks and some of the guys acquired in trades, Curry wasn't in the top 30. People were like, what? How is he not in the top 30? Have you seen this guy pitch? And I guess one person graduated and now he's number 30. I think Ernie Clement graduated, so they bumped Xavion back into the top 30. He definitely belongs there, and hopefully he can continue performing and keep rising. So next up, or is that the last one? No, we've got a couple more. In terms of hitters, we've got a pair of AAA outfielders to highlight this week or actually these past 2 weeks. So Connor Maribel, you may have forgotten about him. He's been a bit of a depth outfielder, somebody that's consistently risen through the system. This year, he has been at AAA the whole season, but for the past 2 weeks, he has been on fire. So in 12 games, he went 16 for 40, batting about 400, with two home runs, five doubles, three walks, WRC plus of 196 over 2 weeks. That's a lot harder. That's a number that is really impressive to do over an extended period of time. Like, that's good enough usually to get you potentially in the top five for 1 week. So the fact that he was able to do that over 12 games is really impressive.
And he, for me, it feels like he keeps popping up when I do the Saturday recaps, just having key hits or otherwise contributing to the offense in meaningful ways. I mean, he first reached AAA in 2017. So yes, he is a depth guy, but they're important to the organization, and it's cool to see him have a hot stretch like that.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy that I don't know if he'll ever make it to the majors with Cleveland, but I think at some point he's going to make it to the majors.
He will earn some significant at-bats for someone at some point.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of people making it to the majors in Cleveland, we have Oscar Gonzalez, also at AAA, and he's been there for a little bit now. And for these past 2 weeks, he was entirely at AAA, so he is now settled in at AAA, and over his past 13 games, 20 for 54, three home runs, three doubles, a walk, two hit by pitches, WRC plus of 167.
Man, the way you teased that, I thought you had a scoop and you were going to break some news.
No, not yet. But I mean, he is knocking on that door. Like, they are going to have to give him an opportunity.
He won't stop hitting. There's one place for those guys to go. And speaking of guys who won't stop hitting, Jorge Valera rounds out the list for this week.
And nothing new there. We already talked about how amazing he was these past 2 weeks, but what a beast. 211 WRC plus. I mean, I was already ranting and raving about Maribel going 196, and Valera was even better than that. So, and the fact that he did that while also being promoted to AA. Hell yeah.
Indeed. Now, Brian, would you like to take a peek inside the cupboard?
Let's do it. The Carnegie cupboard are two players each, a hitter and pitcher that were not featured in the top 30 of MLB Pipeline or the LGT top 20 that we thought deserve a closer look throughout the season. So how did your players perform these past couple weeks?
I think they had fun playing baseball, first of all. And we know that's the most important thing after breakfast. But they actually both had some pretty good weeks. A couple of weeks here. So Clark Scolomiero went 316, 350, 526 for the last 2 weeks. Not bad at all for him, sporting a WRC plus of 134. To keep you apprised of Mr. Scolomiero's pedigree within the system here, he was a very late round pick, and I feel like we usually highlight top contending prospects kind of here. So I thought it would be fun to track kind of a rando within the system. And he rewarded us with 14 days of great baseball. And then for pitchers, I had Mr. Eric Mock, who is now back in action after some time on the DL, or excuse me, the IL. One day, I will make that mistake for the last time. Mock pitched 3 innings and a third, facing 13 batters. He struck out 6 of them, allowed 1 hit, and only had 1 walk. Plunked a guy, but whatever. He was probably standing too close to the plate. Screw him.
Brush him off. So, yeah, really nice performance by your guys. Now, in terms of my players, Micah Priest, who was promoted to high A, didn't have the best week, best 2 weeks, slash 200, 304, 275, with a WRC plus of 69.
Nice.
And Francisco Perez, the exciting news with him, he was added to the 40-man roster and promoted to Cleveland.
Woo!
Did not perform very well there, But the fact that he made it means that that's not the last time we're going to be seeing him in Cleveland, probably this year or next year. So in his very short stint in Cleveland, he went 1 1/3 innings pitched and allowed 3 hits, 3 runs, and 3 walks.
So it could have been worse.
It was not good. But you know what? First time MLB jitters, most people are going to come up and not have their best performance. I think Cleveland kind of dropped the ball. They could have used him in a game that they were comfortably winning, where he had no pressure, and instead they put him in a game where I can't remember for sure. I think they may have brought him in with people on base, or I don't know if he got a clean inning or not.
They had kidnapped Jose Ramirez and were holding him over an acid bath if he didn't get the out, if I remember correctly, too.
Well, Jose definitely got dropped into that acid.
It's amazing he's still hitting so well.
Yeah. So regardless, you know, he's kind of gone up and down. I think he went back to AAA after he got called up. So we'll see how he continues to perform. I don't think he has pitched in a week. So his last time pitching was August 21st.
Okay. So, some time to decompress.
Yeah.
Get his mind back together.
He definitely will need to get, I mean, he might need to speak to a psychologist.
Goodness. Well, I don't think it was too rough for him. Hopefully we'll see him again soon, though. And I'm assuming that he remains in the cupboard.
Yeah, he will remain in the cupboard unless like he gets called up and stays up. Because I know you had like Ernie in your cupboard, and then he got called up. He's been up for a while now. You replaced him. But since he got sent back down to AAA, I'll keep him in. But if he gets called up again, and I expect that to happen soon, I will keep him there. I will replace him with somebody new. And I have some very exciting ones that I'm considering.
Transactions.
Okay. Transactions, there were quite a few. There was a lot of, musical chairs in Cleveland's minor league system over the past couple weeks. First things first, there were a couple injury updates. Aaron Brocco was hurt for about 20 days. He got activated pretty recently, had a thumb injury. Richard Palacios was recently injured, placed on the injured list. And this started a cascade of promotions. So with Palacios, who has been playing a lot of outfield, placed on the injured list in Columbus, Will Benson got promoted from Akron to Columbus. So former first round pick is now back on the same team with Nolan Jones. So caught back up to Nolan Jones. Good for Will Benson. And then to fill the void left behind by Benson, George Valera got promoted from Lake County to Akron, as did Victor Nova. If you don't remember Victor Nova, he was kind of the throwaway player in the Trevor Bauer deal. He was in rookie ball at the time, but he is already back, already up to Akron at 21 years old. So somebody to at least keep an eye on. Not anybody in the top 30, but a very interesting name. And then Jonathan Rodriguez goes from Lynchburg up to Lake County to fill the gap or void left behind by George Valera and Victor Nova. And Jorge Burgos, a promising outfield prospect in the Arizona Complex League, was promoted from the Arizona Complex League to Lynchburg. There were a couple other moves. Joey Cantillo, who has been just completely off in the ether all season, dealing with an abdominal injury, did begin a rehab assignment in the Arizona Complex League. He had one start so far. I think he went 2 innings, struck out 2, no runs allowed. So great to see. Hopefully we get to see him pitch again soon. It's been about 6 days since he pitched, so I don't know how long they're planning to go between appearances. Another really interesting note, Alaska Abney, who was a draft pick by Cleveland in this 2021 draft, has already appeared in the Arizona Complex League and has now been promoted to low A Lynchburg. And you got a chance to see his pitching motion, and there's a common theme with some of these fast moving relievers in Cleveland system.
Sidewinders.
Yes. This guy is almost submariner. And so far, 6 scoreless innings from Abney.
And you did show the mechanics, and he whips his body around his plant leg almost. It's like he's lashing his arm. It's hard to, you have to see it.
I'll just throw in that I'm a big fan of Alaska Abney. I think this guy is going to be one of the first members of that draft class that makes it up to the major leagues. Cleveland clearly looks at him and goes, bullpen guy, he's going to shake things up, and I can't wait to see more of him. So I would not be shocked if he continues to move quickly through the system. Like, if he dominates at Lynchburg, he could easily be in Lake County before the season's over. Last couple transactions, John Kenzie Noel, who we have been hyping all year because he has been murdering people with his baseball bat. He is now finally in High A Lake County, and he's hitting pretty well over there too. So awesome to see. And then a couple other infielders, Christian Cairo, I think a top 5 pick from the 2020 draft, or maybe 2019. I think it was the 2019 draft, who started the year in Lynchburg. He was promoted to Lake County as well. He is the son of, there was a Cairo that was always on the Tampa Bay Rays. I forget his first name, but son of a major leaguer. And Milan Tolentino, who was a infield prospect drafted out of high school in the 2020 draft, was crushing home runs in the Arizona Complex League and has been promoted to Lynchburg as well. He joins Petey Halpin as a pair of high school prospects that are now in full season ball that were drafted last year. And don't be surprised to see Isaiah Green join them shortly as well.
I think Miguel Cairo.
Miguel Cairo, that's the one.
Is the player you were... I didn't realize that there was a bloodline there. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I think Miguel Cairo is a coach now in the major leagues.
For the White Sox.
Yep. And it was Miguel Cairo. Yep.
Well, I believe that brings us to the end of this week's podcast.
And you know what time that is.
Well, if you're ready, we're going to share a reading by E.E. Gammings.
Please do.
Straightforward from Florida Doctor. Number 1. Cut off Devin Williams. Number 2. Anathematized disloyalty. Number 3. Answer the comfort. Number 4. Joe Jimenez is the film.